side. And I know you're gonna love me till the day I die. The way that I know it is the way you said to me, boy, get lost.
95.1.
The one.
Well, you know what it means when that sound comes on the air. It is time for the Raider Rap right here on KYMN 95.1 The One. And what a program we have. We might have an extended program yet today. We are going to be talking all kinds of fun stuff here today. We got Eric Swenson is in the studio today talking boys tennis. Jason Mosley will talk a little bit about the girls softball season. Josh Spitzak, who is currently in a seating meeting for the boys baseball and the state tournament that they'll be participating in. We'll find out all those details coming up this morning. The golf team, they'll be golfing on the 11th and 12th as the entire team went to state and qualified, won the section. And of course, the track state tournament is going on today as both boys and the girls will participate. Evan Lowell will interview track and field runners Josie Hawk and Simon Lippert and Sam Swedeen with this week's Meet the Raider. And, of course, Liz Campbell will give us all the week's scoreboards and the highlights. Speaking of which, why don't we listen to what's happening and what has gone on throughout the week, and then we'll come back to a quick short little forecast, and we'll talk to Eric coming up here on KYMN. Check it out.
Nation. I am your host, Liz Campbell, and you are listening to this week's Raider Sports Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. The girls' track and field team had a lot of state appearances this week, including Sydney Livingston and Judith Presna-Appetit in the long jump, Amber Mahal and Tegan Maddow in the high jump, Elena French and Inga Johnson in the discus and the shot put, both of them, 8th grader Micaiah Patrika in the 3200, the 4x800-meter relay, Emily Beham in the 300-meter hurdles, and Ani Gottfried and Erica Nesseth both in the pole vault. They will compete in another day of finals later today, and we will have results for you guys next week. The boys' track and field team also had a few qualifiers, including the 4x400-meter relay, the 4x200-meter relay, and Stephen Feig in the pole vault. They will also compete in another day of finals today, and we will have results next week for the boys as well as the girls. The Raider boys' baseball team is headed to state. They had their section finals 3-game series against Stuartville this past week, the first game being on Saturday, where they won 11-7. Jake Geiger, Tegan Melgren, Camden Kaiser, and Seth Thompson all had 2 runs each. On Wednesday, they lost a tough second game with a score of 0-6. They came back in the last game of their series, though, and ended with a win and a final score of 3-2. They are heading off to the state championship. After getting past Owatonna in their section quarterfinals, the Raider boys lacrosse team lost in the semifinals to Lakeville North with a score of 4-14. Camden Waters, Cooper Rand, George Peterson, and Bridger Riley all scored. The girls lacrosse team lost to Rochester Century in their first round of sections with a score of 4-10. We have no player data on that game at this time. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Raider Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. You are listening to KYMN 95.1, The One.
Hey, well, thank you very much there, Liz, and congratulations to all those people that are advancing. And, you know, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, as they say. And, of course, we're bringing in Eric Swenson, the head coach of the boys' tennis team. And, Coach, we talked briefly here before we got on the air here, and you guys fought hard. You fought hard, but you run into a roadblock every single year, don't you?
We do. Every single year. Rochester Mayo seems to be the gatekeepers of boys tennis in the Big Nine. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking at the banquet the other night, and I was telling our doubles guys, you know, first, second, and third doubles, they were, even though we lost to Rochester John Marshall All three doubles teams won that match, and all three doubles teams were undefeated the entire season, except for Mayo. So that was kind of the punchline throughout the banquet, is except for Mayo, because
right.
they always beat us. And yeah, it's just, they're just playing at a completely different level. I mean, our guys are a good team. We finished 10-2 this season, actually 8-2 in the conference, 10-2 overall. And yeah, it was an amazing season. It was
right.
just magical. There's so many wins, so many successes.
And then, of course, Rochester, they have all the indoor courts and things like that. So yeah. they, you know, I know a lot yeah. of your guys will go up to like Lakeville, or I think there's a Lifetime Fitness Center up there in Lakeville too, that they have tennis courts and things like that people can get into and whatnot. But Rochester has their own.
Actually, our guys mostly go down to the Owatonna West Hills Tennis Center. Indoor tennis, you can play year-round. I go down there once a week on Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings to play. And they get to know the players from Owatonna and some of the Mankato players. They've become really good friends over the last couple of years. So that seems to be the place to go. The West Hills Tennis Center is unique in the sense that it's one of the most affordable court times you're going to find anywhere in the state, because, you know, it's different than Lifetime, because the city of Owatonna pays all the overhead costs, so there's no incentive for the tennis center to charge high operating costs.
Right.
So it's just, you know, a couple dollars to play, you know, doubles for four people for a couple hours. It's just insanely cheap.
So the unfortunate thing is that half the team is graduated.
Yes. Yeah. Half of our starting lineup of 10 guys is going to be leaving us. So it's going to be a very different team next year. So, you know, the end of this season was a little bit sad. It was kind of bittersweet. It's going to be hard to reproduce the success that we had this season. However, I think that the guys that we have coming up next year are going to step up to the challenge. I think they're really going to work hard in the off season. We talked about that at the banquet too. There's so many different postseason opportunities. There's junior team tennis in the summer. There's UTR, which is a different league and different rating system. You can play at Owatonna with some buddies. You can carpool. There's also inner city tennis up in South Minneapolis on 40th and Nicollet. They have a Saturday program that runs for most of the year. So, you know, there's really no excuse why they can't get out and just play in the off season and compete. There's the Owatonna Tennis Association summer tournaments coming up too in July. So
isn't there like some sort of a community rec team in the city of Northfield too? Isn't there some activities that go on throughout the summer?
Yeah, there's a Monday and Wednesday nights at the high school. There's a drop-in. Anybody can show up. You don't even need to sign up. Just anybody can show up with a can of balls, and it's all different skill levels. It's men and women. We play mixed doubles. There's even some singles, but it's usually doubles tennis. Anybody can show up, any age level, anyone. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity to play, too. There's some community ed, too. There's some community right. ed tennis you can sign up for, too.
Well, I was going to say, it's spring, and now it's coming into summer, so they can keep playing, which is good throughout, you know, and then in the yeah. fall, maybe they can, you know, jump back into some of those indoor clubs and things like that.
Yeah.
One of the things that you were most impressed with a lot of the seniors and stuff like that, and the strengths that they had this year, was the fact that they worked hard in that off season last year, and they, when they showed up, you know, this was the first time you got to see them, and you yeah. saw some vast improvements.
Oh yeah, the previous season, Raiders boys tennis finished 3-7, and the interesting thing is our team didn't change at all. We didn't lose any guys to seniors graduating, so it was the exact same team. The only difference was, well, there were two differences. Our guys worked really hard in the off season to improve their game, and the other teams around the conference lost some of their best senior starters. So that gave us a little bit more of advantage there, given the fact that we had the same team. So it just goes to show, you know, how hard they worked in the off season. And, you know, I keep telling people, these guys are making me look good.
Right.
You know, I walked into this. I don't have a lot of coaching experience, but we had a tremendous season this year. And I can't take all the credit, because, I mean, these guys are so good. They worked so hard to get to the level of tennis that they were at. And I mean, to say that you were undefeated as a doubles, you know, all three doubles teams are undefeated except for Mayo in the Big Nine Conference says a lot.
Right.
Because we had some tough competition. Both Mankato teams are tough. They always play us tough. Owatonna plays us tough. All three Rochester teams are always playing us tough. Century, John Marshall, and Mayo, especially Mayo, who ended up going to state and I believe got second place. So, but you know, that it just, it gives our guys something to work towards. You know, that's kind of our goal, is to try to beat Mayo.
Did those seniors kind of tell the young guys, or they show the young guys kind of their footprint, like how they got better and the work that they put in? Did they pass that along a little bit? And then, you know, did, especially at the end of the season, say, hey guys, we had a great season, but next season's different. We got a bunch of young guys coming in. Did they kind of, you know, say, hey, look, this is what you need to do to get better?
They didn't explicitly say it in those words, but they did talk about that at the senior, at the banquet night, you know, how hard they worked and how hard these guys need to work, because it's, you know, the bottom of the varsity lineup obviously going to be shifting up into those top positions. So they have some big shoes to fill, but I believe in these guys, and I know that they're hard workers, they're responsible. The three captains that we have coming up next year are going to be good leaders. They're very responsible, they're very committed, very motivated to you know, improving their game in the off season and being the best they can be and helping their team try to duplicate this success, hopefully, next year.
Well, and you said that you had some, so, I mean, half, that means the other half played this year. And so some of those youngsters are on that double team. So that, yep, we've got some optimism here and something, yeah, hopeful.
Yep. So out of the six guys who play 1, 2, 3 doubles, half of those guys are graduating. The other half will continue to play. I'm not exactly sure what roles they'll be in. It's possible that Carter Borowski may go to 1 singles. He's probably going to be our best player on the team. Possible that one of our third doubles guys may match up with our fourth singles guys, and they were talking about maybe being a doubles team, which means the other doubles guy would have to either play singles or find a different doubles partner. So there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of, it all depends on what the guys want to play too. You know, I don't like to force them to play singles if they prefer to play doubles and vice versa. So,
with that said, how many, you've got a varsity team and you have a junior varsity team, mm-hmm, correct?
Yep.
So, any of the junior varsity hopefuls coming?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, we had a lot of junior varsity guys who were playing some exhibition matches who stepped in to some of the varsity matches when the varsity starters were not able to for whatever reason. Andy Amundson filled that role a couple of times at 4 singles. He came in. our fourth doubles team, the exhibition doubles, also came in to play a couple of regular varsity matches too, so that was nice. But we do have a couple of middle school boys who will probably maybe be joining us next year as eighth graders, because they're up and comers, they're that good. So we got to play with them, hit with them a little bit the last week of practice. They got to, after they were done at the middle school, they came over to the high school and hit with our guys, and some of them had some really good shots, good ground strokes. So
what does Eric Swenson now do for the rest of the summer? And when are you allowed to talk to those kids again for next year's events? Because the Minnesota State High School League, right, obviously has rules.
Yep.
So are you allowed to communicate with them up until a certain period all through the summer, or are you just kind of hands off?
Well, I can communicate with them. I just can't coach them. And I can't, you know, be with them and show them how to play. We can play, you know, individually. Like, for example, I'm going to sign up for the Owatonna Tennis Association tennis tournament in Owatonna this summer. And I just found out that a couple of my guys who were at their senior you know, parties yesterday said they were going to play too. So I may end up playing my guys, just happenstance, but it's not right. something that's, you know, coaching related. It's just, we're just hitting and playing for fun.
Is that tournament just kind of, does it matter if there's an age limit or something like that? Or like,
they have age categories okay. and they have,
I was going to say, you're not going to play against any of those guys, are you?
I might.
Really?
I could. Yeah. Well, I think the youth goes up to 16 is the highest. So 17, 18 can play against adults. As a matter of fact, two summers ago, my doubles partner, his name is Mike Cohen. He actually is the assistant coach at Lakeville South. He and I were doubles partners, and we played against Ruben and Theo Menk, who are on the varsity lineup. So that was very interesting.
Did they beat you?
Before I was coaching. No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because if they get to have to go up against coach, no. maybe they, you weren't a coach yet.
A coach yet at the time.
So now we'll see what happens. Yeah. We'll see if those guys come to play.
They played very well, though. They played with determination and heart, and they played us really tough. They got some really good points on us. They had a good shot at beating us.
Nice. Okay, so what else? So, and I know you said that you were going to sign up for a program down in Gustavus. And
yeah.
from your standpoint.
Yes, as a coach, I'm signing up. I'm going to go to a 1 week training camp for coaches at the Gustavus Tennis and Life Camp at the end of this month. So that will also give me some more coaching insight as far as, you know, what to talk about as far as mechanics, strategy for singles and doubles.
So who's putting that on? I mean, Gustavus, obviously, but mm-hmm. is that the Gustavus coach then that's doing that, or who are they bringing people in?
I believe it's the Gustavus tennis coach who follows the Wilkinson, you know, Tennis and Life Camp philosophy. Wilkinson was the coach there who started the Tennis and Life Camp, and he wrote the book Let Love Serve. He passed away a little while back. But his legacy continues with this Tennis and Life Camp and the whole philosophy of it's not just about the sport. It's all about, it's like a way of life and a way to live your life. So
very good.
Comprehensive plan for your life.
Right.
Which includes tennis.
Right. but hopefully then you learn something from that you can then pass on to the kids.
Oh, of course. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping is so I can bring back some more strategy and skills that I can do to help next year's team become better.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations on a great season. It was good. I mean, like you said, you only lost a couple matches and you had to run into that roadblock. Now you just gotta figure out how to beat Rochester.
We gotta beat Mayo. We can beat the other two teams. It's just Mayo is just they're, I won't say unreachable, because we could beat them. We can do it. We just take a lot of hard work.
There you go. Hard work will pay off.
Yep.
Coach, I appreciate your time and all the time you came in this season, and congratulations on a great season.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Swanson, the head coach of the boys tennis team, joins us this morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, hopefully I'm going to get Jason Mosley from the girls softball team, get him on the horn here today, and we'll talk a little bit about girls softball. You're listening to the Raider Wrap right here on KYMN 95.1 The One and AM 1080. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
You finally feel like your business is positioned well for the future instead of just playing catch-up. So what changed? Well, you might have to give credit to Merchants Bank, your new bank. Before, you didn't have the personal connection to a banker who really understood your needs. But now with Merchants Bank, you're backed by a team who shares your vision and what it will take to get you there. Plus, they've introduced treasury management tools to save time and money, making you more efficient. Thanks, Merchants Bank. Can't wait to see what's next.
Hi, this is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Builders Remodelers. You may not have considered a new house because of the price, but if you considered that new homes actually cost you so much less, it's like owning a new car. Building a new house, you get exactly what you need, and the cost of ownership can be so much lower with utility bills and upkeep. It might really save you a lot of money. Our Northfield model home is located at 431 Ford Street East over by the soccer fields.
Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, or give us a call, 507-366-1288.
Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, a family tradition of over 50 years.
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. Do you have HSA dollars that you're looking at wondering, hey, what can I use these on? Did you know you can use HSA, HRA, and other health savings accounts to pay for your LASIK procedure? In addition, if you have a Flex account, you can set aside money in your Flex account for next year to use towards LASIK.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
A new active 55-plus living community is coming to Northfield. Gracewind Cooperative is now accepting reservations. Gracewind is for those 55 and over who want home ownership without the hassle of home maintenance. Their amenities are designed specifically with active 55-plus adults in mind. On-site pickleball courts, pet and car washes, multiple community spaces, and much more. And with a location near St. Olaf, it doesn't get better than this. On June 10th and 11th, join us for an informational session to learn more. Sign up at gracewindliving.com. That's gracewindliving.com.
95.1. The One.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN. We still got a great program for you. You just missed Eric Swenson from the boys tennis team. And if you want to listen back, you can go to kymnradio.net, go to programs, go to the Raider Wrap, select today's date, and you can listen back to all the interviews today. That'll be up. We'll podcast that after the program this morning. So let's take a quick look at the forecast before we move on. 20% chance of showers this morning, but then mostly cloudy, and then gradually clearing with a high of 73. Tonight looks like clear skies, cooling off to 51. Tomorrow, sunshine and 73. Clear skies tomorrow and 49. And then for Sunday, looks like a high of 73 with nice calm winds and plenty of sunshine. Currently, we got plenty of sunshine. We got a few of those clouds just kind of hanging around, and 61 currently in the Cannon Valley. We now shift our attention to girls softball. Jason Mosley joins me, assistant coach. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, we've been talking about, you know, a lot of different successes and things like that, and I think the girls softball team did okay this year. They did the best they could. They lost a close one, man. That was a 2-1 against Red Wing. And they had beaten them twice earlier in the season. So is it true that, you know, beating a team three times in one year is a tough battle?
For sure it is. And unfortunately, we ran into it twice in both section games. We ran into Faribault round one, and we had played them twice through the year and had success. And then same with Red Wing, and ran into them in the playoffs, and they were both great games, close games. We were right there. Both teams were very competitive. We just fell just a hair short in both of them. But the girls gave a great effort and gave it all they had, and unfortunately that's just the outcome is what it is, and we went from there.
Yeah, back in April it was Faribault. You beat them 10-3. It was a doubleheader that day. You beat them 10-3, 17-7, and then you lost the close one 3-2 there on Wednesday. So anything you can take away from that game that maybe, you know, from a coaching standpoint that, you know, you maybe you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, didn't type of deal?
Oh, there's always those moments. And as any coach would tell you, there's always when you can reflect back, I should have did this, I should have done that, and things. But I think overall that with both cases, to be honest with you, their pitching, our opponent's pitchers were really on, and they kept our hitters guessing, and we just couldn't. Unfortunately, we just couldn't make barrel it up when we had the chances. I meant Faribault. We just we were on base. We had, I think we had left 19 or 20 athletes on base throughout the course of the game. Yeah, and we just couldn't come up with that clutch hit. But I think the girls were really positive about it. We had a young team. They're taking it as a learning curve, and it'll make us better going forward. So, yeah, there were tough losses, but overall take it out of the coach, a lot of positives is we were very competitive. They were against competitive teams. We were right there. We were young. We were holding our own, and sets a great foundation for years to come for sure.
That's good to hear. So how many underclassmen are on that team this year?
There was 10. We had our roster for varsity was 14, and we had 4 seniors that are moving on. So, yeah, we have 10. There'll be 10 girls returning next year. So,
and out of,
we have a healthy amount.
Good. And then how did your JV team do this year?
Oh, they did extremely well. Northfield is very blessed in the softball program that we have all 3 levels. Our 9th grade team, our JV, and our varsity are all very competitive and really solid. And our JV, again, this year, I believe they lost 3 or 4 real close games and things. But we have a bunch of great athletes on that team, and I'm looking forward to what they bring to the table next year. Some of them might move up to varsity and stuff like that there. But we have a really deep program for sure.
I was going to say, you probably – so if you got 10 underclassmen, that's kind of good, and they've got a little bit of playoff experience, which is nice. So then, from a JV, I mean, how many teams or how many players can you actually put on the bench and suit up for every game for varsity?
The section rosters that we can normally go into is 18.
Okay,
Typically, not a lot of teams carry that many during the regular season because of you want the girls. There's only 7 innings in a game, and it goes pretty quick, and you want them to get reps and get better. So we try to, you know, like this year, I think both teams had 14 athletes on each one, and, you know, it's hard to try to get everybody innings and things like that. So it's you want to kind of keep around that number there just to get, especially to get their confidence up, get them playing time, get them, you know, the experience and all that to help when they do make the varsity roster that they're set up for success.
Well, all in all, I mean, you got to be pretty happy, I'm guessing, with the development of the team. I mean, it was kind of a you're above 500, so that was good, right? So you got that going for you. And then, like I said, you had a young team, so that makes a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Justin and I talk all the time, and I'm very, very proud of what our team has accomplished, the whole program this year. We had our ups and downs like every program does. We had our banquet, our end of the season banquet on Wednesday. And I was talking to the girls that I was very, very proud and impressed and happy with the body of work they did throughout the season with all these, like we said, underclassmen coming in, mixing with our upperclassmen. And gelling and figuring out. They did a great job. And, we ended up the season 13-9. I'm very proud of what we accomplished this year and things. And I think it'll be a great, great stepping stone for the years to come for sure.
So as far as, I mean, it's summertime, it's sunshine, it's beautiful out. And what do they get to do? I mean, is there any type of clubs or softball, I don't know, leagues out there that they can play in, or how do they work on their craft between now and next spring?
Yeah, no, great question. There's a lot of clubs out there, and I believe throughout our entire program, probably 80-ish percent go on and play this summer, and that's already started. A lot of them have already had their first game last week already. So, yeah, no, they go into club ball, different clubs, and play all summer long. And then tryouts for next year's club team start in August, and then they do a fall season, and then there's a dome season before the holidays, and there's another dome season after. So we have a lot of athletes that play year-round through different between their clubs and stuff. So, yeah, they're always working on the craft. They're always putting their extra time in, and, you know, and I guarantee they're all doing it, ready, waiting for next spring to come. Chomp at it and get back in there.
Well, I'm assuming that some of these athletes are multi-sport athletes also.
Oh, yeah. Yep. A lot of them. We have girls that play volleyball, basketball. We have some that run in cross country. So we have a ton of there, but they still fit it in. It's crazy how they can fit in that schedule. And it's also you have to thank the parents too for driving around and making the schedule work for these multi-sport athletes to to do everything that they love to do and keep working on their craft so that when it comes to the high school season, we have a great foundation and a good start.
When do you make a determination as to the schedule for next year? Is there a meeting that comes up here with the State High School League or something like that that they determine who's going to play who next year?
Mr. Mahal, our athletic director, has already started that. So we've gotten it pretty much already buttoned down with the Big Nine, where we have to play 16 conference games. So we can have 20 events a year, so 20 games a year, and 16 of those got to be played within the Big Nine. So we've already got that down, and then we're working on buttoning up a couple other teams to fill out our schedule. But we're getting pretty close, so the schedule's almost set.
Wow. Is there anybody in particular outside of those 16 games? So, like, there's four games that you'd like to play outside of that conference to maybe, you know, get a taste of maybe, you know, an upper-class team or something like that. Is there anybody in particular that you would like to play or challenge to play to see how you stack up against them?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I know we've reached out to New Ulm. They're world-class program. They're really good, well-coached. They win a lot. They're a tough team, and we'd like to try to get a schedule some games with them, whether it's next season coming up or the following, so we want to get on the radar. So we've reached out to them to try to get that because we're a firm believer in competition. You know, the harder teams you play, the better you get. Even if you fall a little short, it still makes you better as a team and for other games and things like that. So really like to play them, and then we also are trying to get a couple of the other teams in our section like Byron, Cass, and Manorville to get to play them a little bit to see what they have. So if we run into them in sections and things like that, we know how to we can game plan around that since we played them.
What class is Northfield in this year?
Oh, we were in 3A.
So you're in 3A. Okay.
Yep.
I was going to say maybe even a crosstown rival like the Randolph Rockets. They're 2A. I know they're 2A, but they just won the state title again, second time in 3 years. We should challenge them.
They have a really good they have a great program over there, and they are. I know our associations, our local associations, play each other, Randolph and Northfield, the clubs, and those are always great games to watch. And we for sure could reach out to them and go there. But right now we're trying to focus a little bit more on teams that are in our section that we could potentially see in our section or state tournament, so that way we can game plan around them.
Well, I know that you guys, you do some really good stuff during the season. You have your cancer fundraiser that you do with the Randy Shaver Cancer Foundation, and I know you had that program that took place here during the regular season. How did that turn out?
Well, it turned out amazing. The community really embraces that event. It's a great event, and it goes to a good cause, and yeah, between everything, I think we raised just a hair under and donated just a hair under $2,000 to Randy Shaver's fund. And that organization is great to work with. They're very appreciative of that. So, no, it turned out really well for a game during the week because, it was a school night and parents had to work the next day. But, no, we had a great turnout for it, and it was – good event, and Winona was they were great sports and took photos and did all that stuff. It was really fun to be a part of.
Well, you got like I said, that's an awesome thing that you guys do for the Cancer Foundation and things like that. So, and I know the girls get excited when that game comes around.
Oh yeah, that is one of the few dates that are circled on the calendar for sure. They get very excited for it.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what the opponent is because they know what they're doing is, for a better cause. So that's fantastic. It's unfortunate you lost in the first round there, but, you do some good things, and I think the optimism is there. We got a lot of returning players coming.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm unfortunate, and it wasn't the ending that we had. And, our seniors that are leaving, I feel for them to try to make a little bit better of a run there in the playoffs so that they could end their high school careers a little bit on a different note. But, again, we ran into a couple of great opponents, just fell a hair short. But, again, we're blessed in this community to have a really solid program. So we're going to, we'll be ready to go next spring and give it another good run and see what happens.
All right. Well, congratulations on a great season, and thank you for joining me this morning, Jason.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it and look forward to visiting with you again once the season kicks back up.
Let's hope we can get some victories here next year as well. So, congratulations. Jason Mosley, the assistant head coach of the girls softball team, joining us this morning on the Raider Wrap. And we'll take another break. We'll come back. Maybe we'll talk a little track and field here with Meet the Raider. And then coming up a little bit later, we'll have... hopefully Josh Spitzak will join us from the boys baseball team as they have the seedings all set and ready to go. We'll find out who they're going to play and when. Stick around for that. You're listening to the Raider Wrap on 95.1 The One, KYMN, and 90 and AM 1080.
At Community Resource Bank, you can bank from anywhere, anytime you want. The CRB mobile banking app makes it easy to keep track of your balances, pay bills, transfer funds between accounts, and deposit checks any time of day or night. With branches in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville, we can offer solutions for businesses, residential, and investment accounts. Community Resource Bank. Let's bank together. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
This is Beth from ServiceMaster by Iyett. We pride ourselves on being a locally owned company specializing in residential, janitorial, commercial, and disaster restoration services. On call 24/7, ServiceMaster by Iyett has a proven track record of being on site within 2 hours should you have a disaster strike your family or your business. At ServiceMaster by Iyett, we look forward to earning your business. Call us today and demand the yellow van.
Demand the yellow van. Service Master.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Wow, Northfield is such an active town.
I know. There's so much going on, but I feel like I never know about things until after they've happened.
I used to feel the same way until I learned about the Community Events Calendar.
Community Events Calendar?
That's right. The city hosts an online calendar where people can submit events happening in the area.
Oh, cool. I can even sort events by audience, so I can filter what's appropriate for date night and for the kids.
That's right. I even subscribe to the tailored weekly event newsletter. I never know what local hidden gems I'll see in my inbox.
For everything that's going on, events.northfieldmn.gov.
Locally owned, independently programmed, 95.1 The One.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1 The One. Some overcast skies still kind of rolling around there, some puffy clouds just kind of hanging out this morning, but it should be clearing mostly this afternoon. Should see some clear skies and a high around 73. Light north-northwest winds. Tonight, clear skies, cooling off to 51, and then tomorrow, sunshine and a high of 73. Hot dog. And then Sunday night, mostly clear and cooling off to around 49. Sunshine and a high of 73. For Monday. So we've got some overcast skies, like I said, and but they should be moving out of here hopefully pretty soon. We're up to 64 in the Cannon Valley this morning. We're going to kick things over to the track team. So both the boys and the girls will finish up state today. They'll be running in state. There's a lot of the girls' track team and a lot of the boys' team had made it to state as well. They're running today, so this was obviously interviewed ahead of time. So let's check in with Evan Lowe and find out what's going on with this week's Meet the Raider.
I've been injured most of the season, so it was just kind of like a nagging injury, and then it eventually got worse. So eventually I had to shut it down and rest for like 3 weeks, and now I'm back. Thankfully, I've been able to run in sections and then state this week.
I still have some big goals that I'm hoping to meet at state individually.
Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome back to Northfield's best youth-led sports radio show.
I'm your host, Evan Lowe, and today on this week's Meet the Raider, we have track and field state athletes Simon Lipper, Sam Swedeen, and Josie Helk. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
And so this past weekend, we had our section finals meet. How did that go for you three?
It went really well. It was like a super fun meet all around for the girls team. Just exciting to see everyone be super successful.
And Josie, the girls team, they got second at the section meet. Was that something you guys were expecting going into it? Or how did the team feel when you're coming down to the last event and you had a shot at the podium?
It was pretty unexpected to get in the top two. We were hoping for like at least third, which would have been like a lot better than last year. So getting second was super exciting.
Yeah, congratulations to the team on that. And you guys are sending a bunch of athletes to state, which will happen this weekend, so that'll be exciting as well. And then on the boys' side, Simon and Sam, you guys are both on relays that are going to state. How would you say the section meet went for you two?
It was great. I think we got our goal of getting like at least two relays, so yeah.
Yeah, the 4x4 was honestly like really unexpected. Our coach, like, he believed in us a lot and he said we could do it, but honestly, I did not feel the same way. And so when I saw Steven Feig, who was our anchor, coming in fifth place, I thought there was no hope that we'd make it to state. But then I looked at the time and he was right on track to make the state qualifier. So it was kind of like a crazy moment and I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal, Sam. So can you explain a little bit how usually at these more individual-based sports, when it comes to the postseason, there's the top two finishers go on, but then you said that you got fifth and the team still qualified for state. Could you explain how that happened?
Yeah, so there's a state qualifying time standard. So, like, for the 4x4, it was 3 minutes and 29 seconds about. And so we got 3 minutes and 28.7 or 8-something seconds. And so if you get faster than that qualifying standard, then you can go to state.
Yeah, and Simon, you're a part of the 4x2, which is had a really successful day Saturday. Could you kind of talk about what you guys accomplished?
Yeah, so we obviously got a state bid, got first in our heat, and also got a school record. So kind of unexpected. We didn't think we were going to get first because we hadn't ran that team in like a month. But yeah, we ended up getting first, so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a fun race to watch. Going into that race, how much did you drop from your seed time to your finals time?
I think we dropped about 3 seconds. So it was like, it's a lot in a sprinting event. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you guys have a chance to have that same team this upcoming weekend. How are you guys seeded going into this upcoming week?
I think we're seeded fourth in 2A for the 4x2. So we have a good chance to go to finals and hopefully place. Yeah,
that's super exciting, Simon. And then Josie, you're part of the 4x8, which is of course going to state, and that was a kind of fun race because there was a lot of top level competition kind of within the end. There are three teams up there, no one really knew what was going to happen. How are you feeling in that moment towards the end of the 4x8, thinking you needed to get a top two spot to go to state?
Well, it was pretty nerve-wracking seeing, like, those top three teams up there. And I think it was exciting because Claire Forbord, who is our third leg, got us in, like, a really good spot in first place. And then once she handed off to Micaiah just really went out there and stuck with them. And then in that last 100, Micaiah really, like, sprinted it down and was, like, battling with that Winona girl. So,
yeah.
Exciting.
Josie, do you know going into state where you guys are seated?
Yeah, we're seated first in the first heat, so we're going to have a lot of good competition, and I think we could definitely podium into the second heat with those girls.
There's two heats at state, and that'll be the second heat is like the top eight teams, and then you guys are seated first out of the second heat. So that'll be fun to have, kind of be in the front level of the competition for that state meet. You three, thinking about this season as a whole, from first day of practice until now, what would you guys say has been the biggest battle that you've had to work through or kind of overcome to get where you are now at the end of the postseason?
I guess I've been injured most of the season, so like haven't been able to run much. So I've just been doing a lot of stuff to try to get back, and thankfully I've been able to run in sections and then state this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Simon, kind of how did that develop? Was that something that came out of the blue, or how did you realize that you were dealing with the injury, and what did you just kind of do cross training to get back into it?
Yeah. So I mean, it was the same injury I had last year, but in my other hip. It was just kind of like a nagging injury, and then it eventually got worse. So eventually I had to shut it down and rest for like 3 weeks, and now I'm back.
Back in better than ever, am I right?
Yeah.
But going into this season for me, I like had no hopes this season. I was just like gonna have a fun season, honestly. And like after I got like a 2-second PR at Mankato East meet, I started like care more, and especially now making it to state, like I had no idea that would happen at the beginning of the season. So
I was super excited for this season to meet some bigger goals that I had in the 800, and I started this season with mid distance instead of distance, which I've done in the past years. So that was definitely different, but it was exciting to have a new coach and like trust the process. I still have some big goals that I'm hoping to meet at state individually, but it's super exciting to make it in a relay.
Sam, this year in the 400, you talked about how you've just dropped 2 seconds at Mankato East, and you've kind of dwindled it down even after that. Going into the state meet, your last 400, what's the goal for you going into this meet?
Probably to split mid-51 or sub-51 would be crazy too.
At the beginning of this, you talked about how you kind of were just going in to have fun. What was your like expectation of your 400 this season?
My expectation, I wanted to at least get sub-54, which I got at Mankato East, and then just like kept dropping from there.
It's exciting, just kind of trusting the process like Josie said, and it kind of all came together as the season went on. And then as we get to higher stakes meets like this past weekend at sections and now heading into state, what are some things that you guys do to kind of get in the right mental headspace before you go out and compete?
I think it's really exciting for this meet just because we have so many girls on our team going. And I think just thinking about like doing it for the team and like having fun with everyone that made it there, I think it's such an accomplishment just to make it to state. And now it's just time to like have fun and go out there.
Enjoy the work that you guys have already put in.
Yeah, I mean, I just listen to music before race, usually try to calm myself down. I mean, I think I'll do that before the state meet too, just because I got big goals for our relay. Like, I hope we can place or maybe get top three. So hopefully we'll all be pretty locked in.
Yeah, going off of Simon and Josie, I didn't expect this to happen at all. So I'm just going to have fun with it. But then also, we have a chance to make it to finals. So that would also be really cool to do again.
And then as all three of you are competing on relays, is there anything at sections that you guys told your team right before you went off or competed? Or is there anything that your coaches or teammates said that has kind of stuck with you as you guys are competing as a team?
I just told everyone, like, have fun, because I think we get, like, in our heads too much about it being, like, too important. So I think when I say that to myself, like, I just calms me down. Just try to, like, enjoy it.
Yeah, I kind of think the same.
And then if you're just tuning into the Raider Wrap, we're meeting with track and field state athletes Sam Swedeen, Josie Houck, and Simon Lippert. And so then thinking about how you guys individually perform on the track, what would you say is like the best aspect or attribute that you have when you're on the track, whether that's your start or your technique or something that really helps you stay confident when you're out there on the track?
Something that helps me is just like my experience. So I run the 400 and I've been running it for 2 years now. And so just like having all that experience, I know like how to run the race and like when to keep my form up and things like that.
I think, well, for the 200, I've been running it like since middle school. So I feel like I just have a lot of experience in it, but also like I trust that I have pretty good speed endurance. So I'm usually pretty confident at the end of races knowing like I can catch some people.
I think I've gotten pretty confident in like my strategy in the 800, and also trying more speed work in the 400 this year has helped me a lot. And just like knowing how to, when the right spot is to pass girls and make your move to push it until the end.
Yeah, for sure, Josie. And then from sections and now on to state, is there anything that within your relay that you're kind of trying to fine tune or improve upon for this upcoming competition?
For us, I think we felt like we had pretty good handoffs Saturday, but I think it's really just like being consistent with it and doing it again. And then if we can do it again, we'll probably run a little faster altogether. So,
yeah, I think going off of what Simon said, I think being like consistent and trying to just push as hard as we did on sections. And I think also all together, like working to go out as fast as we can in the first lap and then try to hold on, because we've like worked on our endurance throughout the year season so much that I think we'll have it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, best of luck, you three, at your upcoming races this Friday and Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. That's a wrap on this week's Meet the Raider with your host, Evan Lowe. Keep tuning in this week for more sports on KYMN 95.1 The One.
At Benjamin Bus, we have an excellent team of drivers. With over 400 years of combined driving experience, Benjamin Bus drivers are proud of their excellent safety record and accomplishments. Join our team, get paid, and enjoy being a big part of Raider Nation. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season. Contact us, Benjamin Bus, your trusted friend on the road.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
If there is one thing we have learned over the previous few years, it's that we all do better together. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce believes in the power of community. This is why, for over 100 years, they have focused on growing and developing Northfield and the surrounding area into a thriving community that it is today. The Northfield Area Chamber is a local nonprofit that creates meaningful connections between businesses and the working professionals who work so hard to make this town thrive. When you become a member of the Northfield Chamber of Commerce, you open the door to so many of those opportunities. Together, we all do better. Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce, supporting business, connecting communities, and growing a greater Northfield.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
You finally feel like your business is positioned well for the future instead of just playing catch-up. So what changed? Well, you might have to give credit to Merchants Bank, your new bank. Before, you didn't have the personal connection to a banker who really understood your needs. But now with Merchants Bank, you're backed by a team who shares your vision and what it will take to get you there. Plus, they've introduced treasury management tools to save time and money, making you more efficient. Thanks, Merchants Bank. Can't wait to see what's next.
Your town, your life, your radio station, KYMN, Northfield.
Well, we're back here at the old studio here at KYMN 95.1 The One and AM 1080. And we got some exciting news today. We got Josh Spitzak, the head coach of the boys baseball team, joining us. They had to take on Stuartville several times in the past couple of days. But congratulations, coach. You got over the hump, and you guys are heading to state.
Yeah, thanks. It was a fun few days there. We were hoping maybe to get it done with the first game, but made that second game even more exciting.
Well, and that was a tight one too. You won that one 3-2, lost 6-0. It was kind of crazy, right? So on June 1st, you played Stuartville, beat them 11-7. They came back, beat you 6-0, and then you had to play them again that day and won 3-2. What do you think the turnaround was on that?
Yeah, you know, the guys did a great job. We talked right after that first game, and we just said, we had the advantage of they needed to beat us twice, so just kind of flushing that first game and, refocusing, getting ready for game two, and they did a great job with that. I think that was huge that they didn't let that get to them too much at all.
Well, of course, you had your state seeding meeting this morning. What do we know?
So we will play number 3 seed Matamidi at 12:30 on Thursday.
12:30 on Thursday. And where are you going to play that?
Chaska. So All the first games are at Chaska on Thursday.
And then from there you go to the Target Field, right?
Well, if we keep winning, Friday would be at Chaska, and then the championship is the only game that's at Target Field. If you go to the consolation bracket, they play those at Jordan.
Okay. And then, so are you double A, triple A?
Triple A.
Triple A. So who's the competition besides Matamidi?
Benilde St. Margaret's got the 1 seed, and Mankato East was 2. Matamidi 3. The 4-5 game is Totino Grace against Little Falls, and then the rest would be us, Grand Rapids, and St. Thomas Academy.
Very good, very good. So what do you know about Matamidi?
You know, they're consistently, you know, they seem to be at state almost every year, so they got a great program. We know they got, you know, talented team this year. They were 20-4. So yeah, we know that, you know, they're a tough team, but we feel like we, you know, our record maybe wasn't, quite up there with some of those top teams. But we dealt with some injuries and some other things throughout the season. And, so I think our guys are going in pretty confident knowing we can play with anybody if we play our best baseball.
Who are you going to go on the mound with on Thursday?
Oh, boy. you know, we got a few days to kind of talk through some stuff. You know, it's hard because you play Thursday, Friday, and then possibly Monday. So you got to, you know, trying to plan out. And if you want a guy to be able to come back on Monday, or how you're going to get through those games in a short amount of days. So we'll kind of talk through some things and come up with a pitching plan.
Okay, so you got a couple of days here now. You got 3 days to practice. What are you going to work on?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of nice to, you know, we had a couple of days where we took 1 day off, and then we got together and had some fun, and now we get to, you know, get ready for that first game. So I don't think we'll do a whole lot different. You know, we don't want to all of a sudden change a bunch of stuff. So just kind of keeping guys focused and ready, making sure we get a bunch of reps and just talk through some things that might come up Thursday.
Awesome. Well, hey, congratulations, Coach, on an excellent season, and hopefully I'll get you on the phone next week, and we'll be talking about maybe having to play that following Monday.
That would be that'd be awesome.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? That'd be crazy. Yep. Wow, that'd be fun. All right. Well, hey, Coach, I know you've got a lot of stuff going on, and I appreciate you taking a couple minutes of your time, and again, congratulations on a great season.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. There it is. Josh Pitsack, head coach of the boys baseball team. And again, they'll be taking on Matamidi 12:30 on Thursday at Chaska. So if you want to play a little hooky from work, that's a great opportunity to get out and enjoy yourself for sure. So I do believe we are wrapping it all up right here today. And we want to thank Eric Swenson from the tennis team who joined us, Jason Mosley with the girls' softball team. And, of course, we want to thank Josie Hawk, Simon Lippert, and Sam Swedeen from the track team who is running this afternoon at the state meet as we speak. Congratulations again to the girls' track team as they advance a lot of participants and athletes to the track state meet today. The golf team will be golfing in state this week on the 11th and 12th, so we'll get some results from that. So hopefully next week we'll maybe get Mill Miller on. We'll try to get Janet Smith on, Tyler Balow on. We'll try to get a little bit of everybody on and recap these state participants in this week's Raider Wrap. So again, thanks everyone for joining us yet again this morning. Thank you for joining us. That is a wrap. Stick a fork in us. Jimmy LaRue bidding us adieu again for yet another week. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us each week at 10 a.m. right here on the 195.1 and AM 1080 KYMN. feel free to join us. Again, go back to kymnradio.net. You can listen back to all the programs if you'd like. We can do that coming up here in just a few minutes. I'll get that podcast up onto the website. Just go to kymnradio.net, go to the Raider Wrap, then go to today's date. We'll put today's date on there, and you can just take that and you can join us again and listen back to the great interviews from earlier today. Quick look at our forecast for one more time. A 20% chance of showers maybe this morning, but I think that's starting to fade away and get up out of here. Mostly cloudy, then gradual clearing and a high of 73. Tonight, clear skies, 51. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 73, cooling off to 49 with clear skies, and then sunshine and a high again of 73 in the Cannon Valley. We are currently hanging out at around 68 degrees. Have a great day. Find your 10 minutes of absolute bliss today, and take care. We'll talk to you next week.
This